Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
And you're very welcome back to Tip Today. It's time for this.
The Conspiracy Files on Tip Today.
Are you all right, Ellie?
I'm fine. It's very busy today.
You're rooting under the desk there.
Yeah, I was trying to get... No, listen. That's how rumours start. I was trying to fix the headphones.
Well, okay, you were looking for your headphones. let's be clear about that. All right, Ellie, what are you going to talk to us about?
So we're going to talk about something you probably weren't expecting, giants today.
Giants.
Because in folklore, I suppose, giants are beings of humanoid appearance. And the word giant is first attested in 1297 from Robert of Gloucester's Chronicles. And it's derived from the Gigantus of Greek mythology. Now, we all know giants from fairy tales like Jack and the Beanstalk, which originally was called Jack the Giant Killer, I'll have you know.
Cool.
And they have formed the modern perception of giants as very dim-witted, as violent ogres, sometimes said to eat humans, while other giants then tend to eat livestock. But in more recent portrayals, like those of Jonathan Swift and Roald Dahl, giants by them were portrayed as being very intelligent and very friendly. So are they the stuff of fairy tale and folklore, or did giants actually exist? Well, it might interest you to know that the remains of giants have been found all over the United States in particular, and all over the world, but primarily in the US. But why aren't these amazing finds on display in any museum? Why aren't they taught in any classes or mentioned in any history books? Because many believe the existence of giants, for some reason, has actually been covered up.
Covered up?
Absolutely covered up.
Wow.
So how it all started was in 1886, a mining engineer by the name of John T. Reed was told that the Paiute legend, that's a tribe of Native American Indians, they had a legend of a giant people defeated by the natives near a place called Lovelock in Nevada. Now, the last of the giants there met their fiery end deep within the bowels of a cave. And Reed's belief in this legend stirred great interest in the secrets held in that cave. So official excavations were undertaken in 1912 and 1924 by the University of California, with reports telling thousands of artefacts being recovered. Of these artefacts, the most puzzling were those of human remains. Well, they're almost human. 60 skeletons measuring between 8 and 10 feet tall were said to be found during that dig. So Hugh Newman is the author of Giants on Record. He says the giants also had a very peculiar thing in common.
This caused a sensation, and one of the strange things about the discoveries in Lovelock Cave is that the skeletons were often found with red hair. And so it does seem like they're a different kind of people than the Native Americans from that area. These were then removed and ceremonially buried. What's also interesting is that over 100,000 artifacts were excavated from Lovelock Cave. The strange thing is that many of the artifacts were huge. Like, you have giant-sized sandals, like a 15-inch long shoe, which is size 29 US, which would fit someone who's about 9 feet tall. And even pieces of clothing, which were so big, looked as though they were worn by giants.
Good there you go. God. Giant redheads. My people. In Lovelock Cave.
Giant grumpy redheads. Can you imagine?
No
that?
Doubt.
But were they like a grouping, like a tribe?
They
almost?
Were like a tribe. And they're known now, because there were so many skeletons of these giants found, they're known as the Lovelock Giants after the cave that they were found. But it's not just contained within the Paiute tribe. There are tales of giants across a myriad of cultures. And despite what we've been told by mainstream science and mainstream archaeology, there is evidence to suggest that they really existed. Tuck Thompson is a professor of anthropology at the University of California. He says that stories about the discovery of giant bones is not uncommon.
In the southwestern United States, there's several very strange stories of these dead corpses or skeletons being found regularly. In terms of the reports of giants, this is a compelling motif. People were fascinated by this idea of a giant race that had lived here previously. And this connects to a lot of biblical belief. that tended to be fairly literal back in the day. And the Bible talks about back when there was a race of giants that lived among the earth. And so for many people in the Wild West, when you see some skeletons dug out of the earth that seem to corroborate this, this was an affirmation of literal biblical beliefs as well.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I didn't hear anything about this.
No, never.
It's completely new to me.
Yeah. And tales of giants then inhabiting that land around Lovelock Cave in Nevada. I mean, they've been around for hundreds of years. The Paiute tribe, as I said, they were the dominant tribe with those stories from their culture about these red-haired giants. Chad Lewis is a cryptozoologist and speaks about the stories that were commonly told within the tribe.
A woman named Sarah Winnemucca, who was a descendant of Chief Winnemucca, the Paiutes, wrote a book in the 1800s and recounted her people's battle with this race of giants, the Sitka. Now, what's fascinating about this is that she says that it was an actual battle, not part of tribal lore or mythology, but something that actually occurred. The Sitka were red-haired and lived in the mountains near the Paiute Nation, and they were cannibals. According to the Paiutes, they naturally grew tired of being cannibalized, and they confronted these giants.
A war was started between the giants and the Paiute people. For 3 years, they battled one another. The last of the giants hold themselves up in the Lovelock Cave. And the Paiute people stuff the openings with a bunch of brush and firewood and lit the place on fire. And that was the end of the red-haired giant cannibals.
Incredible story.
My poor people. And some might say that this is just folklore and fairy tale, but there is some evidence to actually back up this story. Here's author Hugh Newman again.
What's also interesting is that when the discovery was made in 1911 at Lovelock Cave, they also found evidence of extreme burning, which took place near the entrance to the cave. So this matches the story almost precisely. And again, we have evidence of red hair because Sarah Winnemucca Hopkins actually saved some of the hair and sewed it into a mourning dress, which she used when she gave lectures. And so the story of the Paiutes defeating the giants then suddenly became a reality.
So not just folklore and fairy tale then?
No, there is evidence of it. And then even some years later, an article published in the Nevada Review Minor in 1931 announced the discovery of two mummified skeletons in a dry lake bed outside of Lovelock. Those remains measured 8.5 to 10 feet respectively, also again described as having red hair. Now, it's not just in Nevada. There's reports of giant skeletons across the US, but particularly in the West. And further supporting the legend, a 16th century Spanish conquistador documented an ancient Peruvian tale about giants who crossed the ocean on large reed rafts. He described them as being so tall that their legs from the knee down were as long as an average man's entire body. You also have elongated skulls, possibly around 3,000 years old and much larger than Norman human skulls. They were found high in the Andes Mountains. Some of those skulls, again, reported to have had red hair, though scientists attribute this coloration to the burial environment. Now, anyone, of course, familiar with the Bible will know there are a number of references to giants in the Bible. They're known in the Bible as the Nephilim. Now, the Nephilim are mysterious beings or people in the Bible who are described as being large and strong. The word Nephilim is Hebrew for giant, but some understand it to mean the fallen ones who were sent to earth and then seduced human women. But their origins are disputed. The most famous and well-known giant in the Bible is, of course, Goliath, a fierce warrior who was later defeated by the brave little David with a slingshot and a stone. But it's not just the Bible. In ancient Sumerian and Babylonian texts, there was an ancient people called the Anunnaki. Is that a new word for you?
It certainly is.
The Anunnaki, according to legend, they're an extraterrestrial race that come from the planet Nibiru. Now, the planet Nibiru, it's not in a distant galaxy. It's right here in our own solar system and passes by the Earth every 3,600 years. Now, the whole argument of Nibiru has been over and back for many years and has often been dismissed as pseudoscience. But NASA only in recent years have admitted that they are aware of a large dark planet or object in the far reaches of our solar system, but they call it Planet 9 or Planet X. And in 2015, Caltech researchers thought they found evidence of it and were close to finding it. Then in 2017, they say that models show there is a 100% certainty that there is a dark planet in the far reaches of the atmosphere. So that legend goes that the Anunnaki came to Earth, began to inhabit it, but a great cataclysm occurred that destroyed much of the Earth. Now, there is some evidence of this because every religion and every culture speaks about a great destruction of the Earth. And most of these stories centre around a flood. Yeah. And they say, according to those legends, only a few humans were said to have survived it. So, to go back to the giants and the skeletons, some people will say, if there are skeletons scattered all over the place, there is your evidence. Let's see them. Where are they? Well, unfortunately, because some were so old, they didn't survive being moved and they crumbled. There are reports of skeletons found in Ohio and in New York that were both covered separately in the New York Times. Here are some of those reports.
The remains of three skeletons were found whose size would indicate they measured in life at least 8 feet in height. The remarkable feature of these remains was they had double teeth in front, as well as in back of the mouth and in both upper and lower jaws. Upon exposure to the atmosphere, the skeletons crumbled back to Mother Earth.
Farmer Warren Cowan recently discovered several ancient graves a mile from the famous Serpent Mound, where Professor Putnam of Harvard made interesting discoveries. Upon opening one of the graves, a skeleton of upwards of 6 feet was brought to light. In another grave was the skeleton of a man equally large. It seems that the region was populated by a fairly intelligent people, and that the Serpent Mound was an object of worship.
The body of a man more gigantic than any ever recorded in human history has been found in the Miami Valley in Ohio. The skeleton, it is calculated, must have belonged to a man 8 feet 1.5 inches in height. It was found within a half mile of Miamisburg, in a location which contains many relics of the mound builders. Edward Gebhardt and Edward Kaufman discovered it while they were working in a gravel pit. Professor Thomas Wilson, curator of prehistoric anthropology, Smithsonian Institute, says of the find,
"The authenticity of this skull is beyond any doubt. Its antiquity is unquestionably great, though it is impossible to have a good guess as to its age. To my own personal knowledge, several such crania were discovered in the Hopewell Group of Mounds in Ohio."
So over the past 200 years, 1,100 reports of giant skeletons have been recorded and documented. But where are they? Some skeletons did survive, and where they ended up is what drives the conspiracy that their existence is being covered up. So some were put on display at local museums for a time, but then were taken by the Smithsonian Museum. Others were sold to circuses that were passing through at the time and then were lost over time. Another interesting story, in 1892, ancient wooden coffins were found in Alabama. They were taken by the Smithsonian because what was interesting about them was that Native Americans never would have used caskets traditionally. So they wanted to know where these caskets came from. Then in 1950, a researcher by the name of Frederick J. Pohl wrote to the Smithsonian asking about these coffins. This was the reply he got.
"We have not been able to find the specimens in our collections, though records show that they were received."
Conspiracy.
So the matter was pursued again in the 90s by another researcher. He got a reply from the Smithsonian saying that the coffins were determined to be ancient water troughs, and that was the end of it. But you have to consider that before the arrival of the Europeans, there was no cattle or livestock. So he then asked to see the artifacts. He was told he couldn't because the facility that they're stored in is closed for the next 20 years because they found asbestos there. So the Smithsonian, you know, if anyone's aware of them, they've long been accused of covering up real history and presenting a very distorted view to Americans about their heritage and indeed about world history as well. But some may question why, and here's a good explanation as to why they would do that.
The suppression of Native American archaeological evidence allegedly began in 1881. Up until that point, the Smithsonian was under the direction of John Wesley Powell, the geologist famous for exploring the Grand Canyon. Powell had spent a lot of time with the Winnebago Indians, and he found them to be thoughtful and intelligent. So Powell and the Smithsonian actually promoted the idea that Native Americans who were at the time being exterminated in the Indian Wars, were descended from advanced civilizations who communicated with and traded with cultures all over the country and possibly all over the world. This widespread dispersion of culture is called diffusionism, which the Smithsonian supported. But then Powell appointed Cyrus Thomas as the director of the Eastern Mound Division at the Smithsonian. And then things got political. Thomas wasn't a fan of Native Americans. He thought of them as nothing more than howling savages. Thomas thought it was impossible for savages from one side of the Mississippi to visit savages on the other side. And to think that people as primitive as Native Americans could sail over an ocean was just ridiculous. This is called isolationism. Isolationism says that civilizations develop independently from each other and have very little contact with other civilizations, especially across oceans or lakes. The debates in the Smithsonian raged, and Cyrus Thomas eventually won the battle of isolationism versus diffusionism. Soon, the Smithsonian took an official stance that any archaeological evidence supporting diffusionism was fraudulent. It was believed that contact between the civilizations of the Ohio and Mississippi valleys were rare, and contact between the Mississippian cultures and the Mayas, Toltecs or Aztecs in Mexico or Central America, well, that was absurd. So the history books were written. Native Americans were a primitive and sometimes savage people, and that was that.
And that was that.
So history even dominating the Smithsonian, imagine.
Absolutely.
It,
and a lot of people would rely on the Smithsonian for evidence-based fact relating to history. But what it shows is that they can't be relied upon, and there are structures all over the world. I mean, you can look anywhere that would appear to be a lot more sophisticated and would defy logic in terms of what we think we know about knowledge and about engineering of that time. Prime examples would be the pyramids of Egypt, of course, Göbekli Tepe in Turkey, which is a very interesting structure, and we could go into that in another episode. Very sophisticated structure. They determined that it might have some power source independent of what's around it. It's completely in the middle of nowhere. It's a fascinating building. And the head statues, of course, in Polynesia as well, just to name a few. So it seems that a lot of our ancient history and culture that we have been taught to date could actually be incorrect. Now, one man who speaks widely about this is Graham Bruce Hancock. He's a British writer who promotes pseudo-scientific theories involving ancient civilizations and hypothetical lost lands. He's spoken many times about Atlantis, for example, would be one of his big topics. Hancock speculates that an advanced Ice Age civilization was destroyed in a cataclysm, but that its survivors passed on their knowledge to hunter-gatherers, giving rise to the earliest known civilizations of ancient Greece, Mesopotamia, and Mesoamerica. But he's very critical of how history is interpreted by archaeologists and says that much of what we are taught is wrong. Here's what he says.
There's a difference between history and archaeology. When you have written documents, and that's the historical period, you can be much more sure of your facts. But when you're dealing with excavations and material that has no written documents on it whatsoever, inevitably you enter into speculation about the past. And I would say a lot of archaeology's view about the past of humanity, the deep past, going back into the last ice age, is speculation, not fact. There are no documents to demonstrate it, but they've excavated certain sites, they've found certain materials, and they've drawn certain conclusions from them. And you know what? They may be right, but I think it's important that there is an alternative voice, which is offering an alternative point of view, which is looking at facts that archaeologists prefer to ignore.
That's interesting. So back to the beginning, did giants, did they exist?
Well, a lot of evidence would show that they did actually, in fact, exist. And a lot of that evidence has been debunked. But the truth is, unless there is honest disclosure from organizations like the Smithsonian and like very high-ranking archaeologists, we'll never know for sure. But 1,100 reports of skeletons of giants, and by giants we mean human skeletons that are over 8 feet tall, that's a giant. And you've had over 1,100 of those discovered so far in America, mostly.
So big,
so that would indicate there are giants.
Big red-haired giants with double front teeth. And
that's the dream, isn't it?
Many around Skaheen.
A few.
Ali, pleasure as always. Thanks very much indeed. We'll take a break back in just a moment.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com. Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. You can't beat experience. With over 50 years maintaining Peugeot cars and vans, we like to call ourselves the experts. Call Slattery's Garage for a free vehicle health check today. 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.